The phrase, live long and prosper, may have originated as a Vulcan greeting by Spock on the original Star Trek, but my guest today, Dan Buettner, is the expert on living longer and prospering with good health and happiness. Dan is out with his latest book, The Blue Zones of Happiness, revealing the secrets of the world's happiest places. Dan has traveled the world, discovering where people have lived the longest, what their secrets are. He'll be sharing those with us in Northfield on September 24th. We'll talk about that more coming up. In the meantime, I have to preface this interview in that we had some technical difficulties with Dan's audio. We start as I have asked him, what are the best models for public health care?
Their focus from just economic development to specifically improving quality of life. And what that means for the most part is they focus on good quality public health, making sure that people aren't getting infectious diseases or getting chronic diseases. In the United States here, we're good at infectious diseases, but we kind of let things go when it comes to heart attacks and cancer and diabetes, and then pay all the money to fix them after they happen. Whereas in Costa Rica, for example, they're every man, woman, and child. In fact, in Costa Rica, Singapore, and Denmark, every man, woman, and child has the right to a visit every year from a health expert who catches the disease before it's a three-alarm fire. Mm-hmm. They put a big emphasis on education. Teachers are paid well, and almost every child knows how to read. And we're slipping a little bit in that in the United States. Mm-hmm. The idea of social services for people who are mentally ill or people who are poor aren't just thought of as kind of an afterthought, but they are a basic human right. And I would say most importantly, the daughters are well-educated, so they grow up to be good mothers, have fewer children who are healthier, better educated, and those kids in turn grow up to be more productive, better parents themselves, vote for better leaders, and then you get this upward spiral of improving generations. And for my work, I just forensically look back, and in all three of these happy places, you see the same pattern.
Yeah, we are talking with Dan Buettner. He is the author of Blue Zones of Happiness. He's going to be coming to Northfield September 24th and talk to us about the power of nine. And we'll get to that in a moment. But some of the other things was, what are some of the day-to-day things that we can do to create happiness for ourselves? And how much does that influence the people around us?
Okay. So first of all, you have to realize that only about 40% of how happy you are or unhappy you are is dictated by genes. About 15% is dictated by chance. For example, it's very hard to be happy if you're chronically fatigued or you have debilitating pain or, you're a Green Bay Packers fan. But about 45 or 50% of your happiness is really dictated by what you how you set up your life, what you choose to do with your day. So I can't guarantee you happiness, but I can tell you how to stack the deck in favor of happiness. Mm-hmm. Number one, almost everybody should be sleeping between 7.5 and 9 hours a day. If you're sleeping only 6 or 6.5, you're probably 30% less happy. You should wake up to a big breakfast. Throughout the day, people who consume 5 servings of fruits and vegetables are about 20% happier than people who aren't getting those vegetables. People who work part-time, which is to say 20 to 35 hours a week, are happier than those people who are working 45 to 50 hours a week. You should take some time every day to volunteer. Watching TV or screen time is okay as long as you limit it to under an hour. People who are spending more than an hour with screen time are less happier than people who are spending less. The happiest Americans are socializing face-to-face with people they like about 5 to 6 hours a day.
Wow.
So whatever you need to do to get that social time, we are a species that evolved with other humans, and there's something genetically pleasing about hanging out with other humans, and we should set up our life so we're interacting with people.
Yeah.
People would like. So those are a few things you can do to
so
increase the likelihood of that.
In other words, you should not have a morning radio show. That's just what
I'm
saying.
What do you mean? You get to talk to cool people all the time.
well, that's true, but I have to get up at 4:15 in the morning. So.
Well, as long as you go to bed at, 6 p.m., you're fine.
Yeah. Good luck with that. But, it's interesting because the other piece to your book is also about, it really does depend on an individual as well and what makes them happy, as you have brought up the pleasure, purpose, and pride, whereas some people, their work means more to them. It has some more meaning to it. And that's really another thing that I noticed in your book, is that choosing a career, if you will, that is goes to your passion.
So it's important to be clear-eyed about something. So statistically speaking, after you in Minnesota, especially Northfield, which is a reasonably priced place to live,
mm-hmm.
After making about $55,000 per year on average, making more money is not going to make you more happy. So getting on that hedonic treadmill of trying to work harder and earn more because you imagine some more prosperous, happier time in the future, it never works that way.
Yeah.
Once you hit about $55,000 a year, then you should shift your time and effort and focus to things like volunteering, more social interaction, making sure your body stays fit, pursuing your hobbies or your other passions. I would normally say that, just do your work, but the reality is, according to Gallup, only about 30% of Americans actually like their job. The other 70% are showing up because they need it, to buy their insurance or put their kids through school or put food on their table.
Yeah.
But, picking the right job is really important. But in case you can't pick your job, just know that, after you make about 55 grand a year, you should, to the extent you can, back off on the work effort and shift it elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a plan for me. I'm good with it. The other things that you have in the book is you also have a Blue Zones happiness test that folks can take on their own, and I'll just mention that instead of talking too much about it, because I do know you have a limited time as well. But another thing is setting up a life radius. Can you briefly touch on that for us?
Well, I do this for longevity and for happiness. So the premise of all Blue Zones is, if you're going to try to change your behavior, diet, or exercise, or positive psychology, you're trying to get happier, it occasionally succeeds in the short run, and there's lots of products, marketers will try to sell you, but it universally, Terry, fails in the long run. There's no diet in the history of the world that has worked for more than 5% of the people after 2 years. Nothing. So it's 95% of people fail. All these positive psychology interventions, they work. They've only been tested for a few months. They've never been tested for years. If you want to live longer, be healthier, be happier, you want to reshape your environment, or you want to live in an environment that has the right quality. So when I talk about life radius, most Americans spend most of their lives within about 5 miles of their workplace or their home. And that's especially true in Northfield, which is a fairly small community.
Mm-hmm.
I argue about optimizing that life radius. And I argue start with your home. A few things you can do to make your home a happier place. Have a front porch instead of a back deck.
Mm-hmm.
That invites more social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Homes with plants. People tend to be healthier and happier. You want a big window that looks out on nature. you want to minimize the number of screens in your house. There's a direct relationship between how many screens are in your house and how much you're watching screens. Remember, you max out at about an hour. You want to have a dog. People who own dogs are both healthier and happier than non-dog owners. Going out on that life radius, your workplace, the most important thing you can do at your workplace if you want to be happier is not angle for a raise, not try to get a new boss, but make a best friend at work. The number one thing that makes it more likely to be happy. In your financial life, which I argue is in this life radius, because the effect of financial security is twice as powerful than consumption, if you have a little bit extra money, you're actually better off to pay down your mortgage, buy insurance, get involved in one of these automatic safety plans, as opposed to buying new shoes or a new gadget, because the luster of that new thing will wear off. And then your social life, for every new happy person you add to your immediate circle, your own chance of happiness go up by about 15%.
Wow. So. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? And I love the book. I love Blue Zones of Happiness. I would certainly encourage folks to get this book. Dan, of course, is going to be in Northfield at the Northfield Middle School on September 24th, and I believe it starts about 6:30. I'll have all that information on our website, and you'll be talking about the power of nine, correct?
Well, that's included.
Okay.
So Bob Thacker, who is a good friend of mine, now moved to Northfield, told me that this is a community that's really anxious to change and get better. Since for about 10 years, I've been working with communities all over America, including Albert Lea, Minnesota, optimizing the environment and setting up nudges and defaults so people are more likely to be happier and more likely to live longer. And what I'm going to do in Northfield is show some of the secrets of longevity from Blue Zones, but also show Northfield some things it could do at a population level to help improve health and happiness of people there mindlessly. We've been very successful at lowering the obesity rate, lowering the smoking rate, and raising the happiness rates of cities. Maybe Northfield will be the next Blue Zone.
Well, that sounds wonderful. We're looking forward to it, and I already have my ticket, so I'm prepared to come see you. All right.
Well, I look forward to seeing you there, Terry, and thank you so much for the great conversation.
Well, thank you, Dan, and I look forward to it, and we'll see you on the 24th.
Live long and prosper.
That's right. Thanks.
All right.